celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Welcome to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Alex Grover joins us in the garden once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today. Let's talk about wildlife. A lot of wildlife is visiting the yards right now. I've noticed them visiting our trees. We've seen some deer come in, which we've never had before. Man, they can cause a lot of damage in just a couple nights.
I have one word for that.
What's that?
Venison.
I've thought about that many times.
Yeah, now, wildlife is really, really difficult. As much as the reputation for Texas longhorns are out there, the reality is that even those compared to real wildlife are really quite docile, which is saying a lot about a Texas longhorn, right? They don't follow rules. They don't follow boundaries. They don't follow borders. You can't nicely ask them to stop. They're going to do what they are genetically programmed by nature to do, which is to eat the easiest, most nutritious material available. If you're a good gardener, where is that going to be?
It's always in my garden, so my yard or something.
Garden, right. So where you're at is going to make a big difference in the way you handle it. And what kind of problems you have is going to be a great deal different. Since we're talking about deer, we started with deer. The first issue is, where do you live? Now, I had a cousin who lived down in Lehigh-ish, but she was on county area, administered by the county. It wasn't the city. It was surrounded by the city, but it was still county. Okay, she could go out and shoot her guns wherever she wanted to. The neighbors didn't have to be happy with her, but it was legal, and the sheriff may come out and say, hey, make my job easier. These guys are complaining, but it was legal. If you're on one of those areas, your best option may be to have a venison steak. Now, keep in mind, you got to do that during hunting season or get approval from whatever, whoever needs approval. But that is an option. Now, if you live in an area like Highland, they do allow and issue permits for bow hunting within the city. You can call the city, and they can actually arrange to have a bow hunter come out and take care of your nuisance deer for you, which I think is a pretty good deal. I think it's a reasonable way to handle it, and that's okay. My father-in-law won't do it because I have a nephew that loves his deer. Yeah, well, keep him off of my fruit trees. So if you're talking about a big area of land, which we're kind of talking about by talking about Highland and out in the county areas, if you cannot hunt them out or don't want to, the next option is perhaps an electric fence, which may or may not be allowable in your jurisdiction, and you do need to actually, to do it right, you have to look at where the irrigation lines are, water the houses, and all this stuff. Those weren't an issue, even though I'm a little bit too close to them when I did it at my father-in-law's. And I think there's a city ordinance against that kind of thing in the front. But that's where the fruit trees are. The fence went in, and nobody's giving us crap about it. And it's worked. We've had the fence breached a year ago on Christmas, I believe. We had a big old storm come through, and something broke that line on that fence. I do not know if it was the wind or if it was a deer charging through it because he couldn't see it, or she couldn't see it. But that's the only damage I've had, and I've not had any trees damage within that zone. So they can work if installed correctly. If you go down to your local farm and garden store, say IFA, they will actually have little booklets for free that will tell you a lot about what you're doing, because, hey, if you know what you're doing, you're more likely to buy the product, right? And for more money, they'll sell you a book that has everything that you can find online. But anyway, the next thing you can do is you can have an 8 to 10 foot fence. Now, a lot of cities do not allow 8 foot fences, but that's the next step, is deer can only jump so high, and they're just not going to want to jump any higher because, hey, deer are actually rather sensible creatures, except when they're not. The next thing is if you have a solid fence that's 6 foot high, the deer are less likely to jump over it because they can't see what they're jumping into on the other side. Now, once they figure out that it's safe, they will jump it. So you may have an issue down the line, but they don't want to jump where they don't know where they're going to land on, because, hey, jumping blind, how many of us guys in particular in grade school and junior high jumped into things that we really should have seen the other side of?
Yep.
We did it. And so deer are more sensible than young adolescent boys, and they're going to say, well, I don't want to go over there unless I have to. I don't want to get hurt. So a solid fence where they can't see through it is a good option. Chain link, they can see through that, and that really actually is a very weak fencing style for that reason. It does a lot of good, but the deer, they can see right through it. They know what they're landing into. So those are really your list of most effective things. Now, if you cannot do any of those, particularly if your city has decided that they don't care about your deer problem, and they're going to legislate things for the property value of the neighborhood, like most cities do, because, hey, it's very important to be rich and to look like you're rich than to actually have food, then you have an option of repellents. Now, these are things that smell in a fashion that the deer don't like. These have variable effectiveness, and most of them need to be reapplied after a rainstorm. I did find some that actually are supposedly taken up by the plants, but they're illegal to sell to people in Utah. So I can't get them, and I cannot legally use them. I have a deer problem at my place of employment. They've done a weird job on my junipers. I can tell they're deer because of the height of where my junipers are just struggling. Everything above a certain height looks great. Everything under a certain height looks crappy. Oh, yeah, it's the deer. So those are things that I'm looking at, is something that will be distasteful to them or smell bad. If a deer's really hungry, it's going to eat it anyway. The best you can do in that situation is hope that somebody else's stuff is easier to get to and tastier. Now, there is one more technique that can be used, and that's to plant something that the deer don't want to go through in between where they're going to be and where your luscious, wonderful vegetation is. It can be done. I have not had a situation where I felt like it was applicable to try it. It is generally, to the human eye, not very satisfactory. It tends to be too messy for humans because we're just so awesome that we think everything is messy that we don't understand. But things like, if you, say, grow sunflowers in a very tight border along an area, sometimes that can dissuade them. Sunflowers are just not nice on their noses and any exposed parts of skin. They're kind of prickly, but again, that's the variable on how effective it's going to be. You really have to have some knowledge of what you're doing. You can't just plant 5 plants along a 50-foot length of property line and expect them to respect that. Another thing I should mention, deer don't have great eyesight. So if you do something that makes them feel insecure or unsure of themselves, they are going to not want to go through that area. So if you have a fence that, instead of being tall, you've got a series of shorter fences that confuses them because they just don't have the great eyesight, they're going to avoid that area. Again, that's a harder technique that takes some study, and it takes some practice to get down, and I've never had a place to use it yet. If my father-in-law continued to have problems with deer, I would have pushed it because it would have made my life easier, but what I did worked. The other thing with that one is it takes more property. If you're giving them that fence with a varied height or something like a thick row of sunflowers or something, that takes a lot of property, so your standard city person isn't going to use it. And a lot of people with 5 acres or less aren't going to want to use it. And farmers don't want to use it because that takes land out of productivity. You got to be dedicated in getting rid of your deer to even try it. You've got to be willing to give up some of your land. Most people aren't.
As far as electric fences, what are you recommending on that front?
Your best electric fences are ones that you're going to be able to plug into your housing grid. It's been a couple of years since I did it, so I'm not sure what's available on the market. But those are going to be more reliable. They're going to give a better shock, which is, of course, what you want to get rid of the deer, is they're going to respond to good, healthy shock and just not want to be there. So one that you can plug in is going to be stronger, better, and more effective. Where I was at, I did not want to run electrical lines, and I'm not an electrician. There's a lot of stuff I can do, but I couldn't do that safely. So I went for the most reasonably strong battery and solar power cell to give the biggest zap I could. I think there were cheaper units, but I wasn't really quite impressed with them. But the one I got wasn't too much more expensive than the cheaper units. And this was a couple of years ago. And because I didn't have easy access to electric power and I had a small area, this has been very effective. And it helps that none of the neighbors have any protection for their plants, so the deer just go somewhere where it's easier.
They'll go to easier hunting grounds for their snacks.
Yeah, the neighbor across the fence from my father-in-law, I were friends, and he would have deer in his yard. They'd just hop over the fence. It was a 6-foot fence. They'd just hop over it, no biggie.
Good advice. I know one thing also on these electric fences, you want to make sure you get one that has enough zap to it. I know there are some that are built for dogs and smaller animals. You want to make sure you get one that has enough kick in it to let them know, because a deer is a larger animal. They will sometimes just ignore one of these smaller little, almost like a mosquito bite to them. You got a lot of thick fur that's got a lot of insulation on them, and if you don't have enough kick in it, they won't respect it, and they'll just run right through it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. If they already know food is on the other side, you run the risk of them just bulldozing straight through it. That'll shock them once, and your system will be sapped. That's what I was afraid of when that line went down in the storm. Fortunately, it didn't happen. And fortunately, again, when I say the neighbor stuff was more attractive, it was. There's plenty of food in the neighborhood and other people's yards. They had no reason to risk my fence. Now, if you're in an area where that's not true, where there is not sufficient food, anything I have mentioned will be breached. They will eat stuff that will kill them if they're hungry. They will throw caution to the wind and make a decision of whether they're going to get poisoned to death or whether they're going to die of starvation, and they will generally poison themselves to death. So if they're desperate, all bets are off. But if your neighbors are nice enough to have nice, yummy stuff, and you've got nice, yummy stuff, but it's harder to get to, they're going to go over to your neighbors. As far as the voltage goes, again, I just followed the guides that were easily available, that I bought my equipment at IFA, and it was very, very easy for me to figure out. I don't know if it's easy for everyone. I'm the kind of guy that passes my pesticide examination with no problem. I've had friends that I consider to be very smart struggle and have to take the test 3 or 4 times. So it might be I'm just good at that kind of thing, but I felt like it was relatively easy with a little bit of research.
Good information. All right, then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. We'll continue our discussion with Mr. Alex Grover with Utah's Best Gardening. When we come back, we'll talk about snow removal. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
and carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Developing winter camping skills could help you survive. We're building a snow cave next on Western Life Radio. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Snow caves can help separate you from the deep freeze outside. Ben Bodmer with Sportsman's Warehouse starts digging.
We have the shovels and the tools. Again, I remember digging out my snow cave when I was a scout. We had an awesome cave. It was big. We were able to sleep four of us in there, and it was awesome. But we didn't change our clothes that night before we went to bed. So even though our cave was nice and warm, we were still cold. So get the proper tools and the right layering, right clothing, dry clothing. So once we dug out that nice big cave, we wished we could have used it another couple nights. But we were just camping that one night. But if you do it right, it can totally be a great experience. But yeah, that's fun. If you're in a place where you have enough snow to do that, that's by all means, that's a great way to go. And if that air doesn't have anywhere to go, it's just the heat coming off of your body and your breath. Yeah, it'll stay in there, and it's nice. We woke up, I remember, inside that snow cave, and it was kind of just a sheen of ice all the way around us. It was kind of cool. A lot of guys don't like it. You know, they talk about the other scoutmasters or things. You know, why do we torture ourselves this year, every year, blah, blah, blah. I look at it more as a challenge. I think it's fun to get out there. You know, you can survive in whatever element. I mean, we're not in Antarctica or anything like that, but it's fun to get out there and experience this, and it teaches you important skills. And yeah, you never know when you'll be in an emergency situation later in your life or whatever. A lot of people just do enjoy winter camping, so I happen to like it.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Did you know that excessive speed is a leading cause of snowmobile crashes? Sure, a burst of speed can be thrilling, but don't put yourself in danger. Keep your speed reasonable for the conditions. Keep control at all times and be ready to react. At night, slow down even more to avoid overdriving your headlights. It's simple. Slow down and come back alive. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration.
Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Alex Grover with us with Utah's Best Gardening. We're halfway through the month of January. This is the best time to start planning for the upcoming growing season. That comes from picking out the seeds in the catalogs. It goes looking ahead to the pruning season, predator control. You don't have to worry about the bugs. You don't have to worry about the weeds right now. It's all about just dreaming a little bit and enjoying the warm temperatures inside when it's snowing outside. One other thing we ought to mention while we're talking about snow, however, is snow removal and ice melt.
Ice melt is one of those difficult things for me. I am a gardening supervisor, a landscape supervisor with a hospital, and my job in the winter is snow removal. I coordinate all of that. I work with everyone on that. I make decisions. I get product. I use salt. I use a coarse grade of what would be table salt. It's not food grade, but it's just not purified enough. But what we get is actually pretty pure. And I do that, first of all, I have got so many pallets of this that I'll be next 3 years. Second of all, it's cheap. And when I go to another product on the size of a hospital, that's a big investment. And I use it in bags, and we get it delivered bulk in a silo because there's nothing as refreshing as being in the middle of a blizzard and having to open up bags one by one to dump them into the back of a trailer or back of a snow removal unit, a spreader. That's what I'm trying to think of, a spreader. Nothing quite so rewarding as ripping bags open and putting 12 of them in the back of a spreader. That's a lot. Because we have such a big area, because we have such a high turnover in salt, a good-sized storm like we had emptied my salt silo. It was emptied from one storm. So just on practicality, salt does a really good job, and it's really economical, and it's really easy to get a hold of. Okay, that's the commercial end. The reality of the commercial end is that come April, I have lines along my sidewalks and along my driveway where we've overshot salt, and I have dead grass and dead plants. I don't like that. Right now, I'm not ready to transition to something else because I'm not ready to talk my boss into going at a higher price product. There's got to be a brass tax. We all have to be about brass tax, but that's going to be an issue. Next year, I'm hoping to have enough capital that I can work with more accurate spreading salt, but I'm going to be honest, sometimes you spread it and go because you are that busy. Now, when you're a homeowner, you're in a different world, okay? You're going to go out and you're going to spend 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 20, salting your walk in your driveway. Okay, you're going to spend longer shoveling them, but salting your walk in your driveway is going to be really quick for most people, okay? You can get a 25-pound bag, 30-pound bag, and it can last you years, depending on how much you do and how much you use. I've got one I bought before I moved into the house I've got now. I've been here 5.5 years. I've not bought any new ice melt. Now, to be fair, I'm very conservative with it because I know the environmental impact. Now, this table salt, sodium chloride, is your cheapest product. It's probably also your most effective product. It is also certainly the most toxic to plants. It's going to kill your plants if you use enough of it. Now, when I buy it for myself, I will go to IFA, and I will look at what they have, and I will look at the product that has the least sodium chloride. That's your table salt. That is your biggest number one killer, is your table salt. There are a number of other salts that are used. Magnesium chloride, calcium chloride is really common, and those work. They don't work as well, but they work well enough, and they're less damaging. Are they non-damaging? No. They're less damaging. Very important distinction. So you still need to use them wisely and carefully as much as you can. Then there's another product. And these are generally marketed as safe. I don't know what brands are currently available in our area, but they are quite often urea-based. Now, I know you, Brian, know what urea is, but for the audience who may be new gardeners, urea is a fertilizer. It is a nitrogen fertilizer. Now, a lot of people go, oh, fertilizer, great. That's not going to hurt anything. I use fertilizer all the time. This is incorrect. Nitrogen can contaminate your soil. It can contaminate your soil water. It can build up in concentrations that will kill your plants. If you use it wisely and don't overuse it, you can do it with minimal damage, and that's fine. Okay? Most of the time, people throw salt out like there's no tomorrow, and then they've got an excess of nitrogen that causes them problems because over-fertilization is bad. If you have too much fertilizer, it will do exactly the same thing that sodium salt will and kill things. If you use too much, you can actually see it leach to other areas of your property. Back a little bit before I graduated school, actually probably more than a little bit, we had an explosives plant at the mouth of Spanish Fork Canyon. And they had a nitrogen leak because nitrogens are used in explosives very, very commonly. They had a nitrogen leak, and they tracked the leak by the amount of greenery along the area where it was leaking. They could track because all the plants were growing more vigorously. So this was down into water and into soil where we just didn't want that product. So, yeah, you can really screw yourself up with that. I do have a can of it. It came with the house. It is almost empty after 5 years. So if you use it wisely and discreetly, you can keep your sidewalks and drives clear. If you use your shovel well instead of relying solely on ice melt, you don't have to use a lot of ice melt. Universally, if you're using ice melt, you are looking at the potential for damaging no matter what product you use. So just keep that in mind. And we had a couple of good storms, but it was warm enough that even though I salted at work, because it's a safety issue, especially at a hospital, it's a real big safety issue. So you don't want that ice because you don't want a sick kid sliding on it. That's not cool. But at home, I think my wife spread it once. I didn't use it at all last year at home, not even once.
I know I haven't myself either. Even now, just a little scuffing with the shovel is about all it needs, really. If I'm patient enough, it usually takes care of itself.
Yeah, and that's one thing, too, is we're in the coldest point of the year, and we're still getting, next week, we're still looking at temperatures in the upper 30s to lower 40s. December and January, traditionally the coldest months of the year. We've made it halfway through, and it really hasn't gotten that cold yet. So one of the secrets is letting nature do the work for you. If you've got snow, move it out before you get pack ice. That's your first thing, is shovel before you drive on it, and then you're not going to have pack ice. And then going through and triaging your area is like, okay, I've always got an ice spot here. I can't get the water diverted. It's coming from wherever. Okay, I'm going to need to use an ice melt here. Over there, it's a nice sunny spot. It's got good drainage, so I don't have any puddles building up. All I need to do is shovel it, and it's clear. I don't need ice melt if I shovel on time. So a lot of this is your mindset of how you are going to approach this. There are weekends I'm not going anywhere. And if the snow comes Friday night, I'm not going anywhere Saturday. I'm not going anywhere Sunday. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to see what the sun does. Because it's scheduled to be warm, I've got a really good chance of things melting. Great. Okay, different situation. It's not supposed to be above 32 degrees for the next week. I get a big snowstorm coming in. I'm not going to leave that sitting. It's just not going to be effective. When we had the big one come in before Christmas, things were going to be dry in most areas in 2 days because we had warm weather afterward. Again, at work, if I were not at a hospital, I would have scratched my head and said, I'm going to remove the snow here and here and here, and these other areas can sit. I don't have people walk in them. I can't do that. I don't have that luxury. But at home, you do. Is your main drive clear? Is your main walkway clear? If you need to get something, do you have to go out this or that door? Are you going to go into your backyard when it's snowy? Do you have kids? Are they going to build a snowman? My kids are grown. I don't have to worry about that. So again, being aware of what you've got and what you need to accomplish with it. If you're not using the area, if you're not going to use the area, you may not need to shovel it. Of course, if that water drains somewhere or is up against a structure that you don't want to wet, well, maybe you do want to shovel it, but think about it. Why put more work into it than you need to accomplish safety and the security of your property? I don't. My truck's broken. We're trying to get rid of it. I don't go shovel around my truck. I'm not using it. I don't need to, so I don't.
Unless you want the workout, that's right. A lot of us get plenty of them as it is. Anything else you'd like to share with folks out there?
When it comes to shoveling and de-icing and stuff, be safe. One of my workers slid a couple weeks ago, cleaning up after that big storm, in fact, and she landed funny. The shovel was on the ground. She landed on the shovel on her nose. It was one in a million shot. And she's got a concussion from that. That was not a fun experience for her. Be careful. Be aware. one thing that another thing we oddly enough don't teach in schools is we don't teach people how to have good balance. We just assume everyone's going to have it. We don't. Learn how to be safe. Learn how to use your posture and your footing to be safe. I've seen people that instead of having a nice stance and their feet are spread and their toes are slightly pointing outward, one foot's at a cocked angle and is pointing inward, and that person went down. They were in a slick spot. You've got to be careful. You can't solve everything through good posture and good footing. But I'm pretty sure that just having that better posture and better footing would have prevented this accident I'm thinking of. Be aware, especially if you're moving snow to one side or the other, because I know that's a very effective way to do it. You need to be able to do it safely and to have a good posture to handle that impact of going off to the sides. It's important in the front, but it will not cause as much damage if you do that when you're facing forward. But if you're throwing stuff to the side, yeah, you're going to have an issue. And so be aware, use good techniques. That's one thing that I love my martial arts background. I was never good at martial arts. I didn't have the money, and I ended up not having the time to continue with it, and I've never been able to get back. But what I learned for my posture and what I learned for keeping my gravity center where it was safe has been worth every penny I spent on it, even though I never progressed very far. It's kind of cliche, but dude, go out and take some Tai Chi and you will benefit from it if you've got a good teacher. And if you actually decide to do something, it will allow you to do things a lot more safely, a lot more evenly, and be cool while you're doing it. We all know it's about being cool.
It's cool outside now.
Wrong cool, man. Wrong cool. Think sunglasses and disdainful expression to the world.
Good stuff. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to follow you, how do they find you?
On Facebook, I hang out at Utah's Best Gardening. It's not the biggest in the state, and I love it because that means I don't have to deal with all the things that the biggest groups deal with. But if you're interested in learning good science, good technique, we always try and answer questions. I don't know everything, especially when it comes to indoor plants, but usually there's somebody there that will know an answer that will be good for you. And I'm on YouTube on GrowHow. Just type in GrowHow. And I've got around 200 gardening videos. Again, not the biggest thing in the world, but I stick to the science, and that makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm doing some people some good. So if you're interested in that, by all means, come on, see what's out there, and we'll see if we can help you.
Anything else you want to wrap up with?
I like what you said about planning. This is a great year for planning and contemplation. Now, I'm shorthanded at work. There's a lot of difficulty in hiring, and again, I've got a gal out with a concussion. So I'm shorthanded, and I'm not doing a lot of planning. But before the accident, I would take some time once a week or twice a week, and I'm putting together plant lists so that I can make good choices about what I'm planting on the campus instead of just going out and buying whatever happens to be at the nursery at this point. I'm doing my planning ahead of time. And that's going to give me a better perspective on the plants that are available. And I'm using an availability list. This is for perennial plants. It's Perennial Favorites. It's a Utah-based company. They have their catalog. They don't grow everything every year, but this catalog's a pretty good guide as to what I might be able to get this year. And so I'm compiling a list from using these resources for certain areas of the property I'm responsible for. I am planning ahead. This may not be the planning you need to do, but for what I am doing this year, this is the planning I'm doing. This is the time of year to do it. Unless you're out removing snow, this is what most good gardeners, professional gardeners do. We're planning ahead, figuring out what we can do, figuring out what we need to do, doing designs, after I get done with this list, then I'll start working on designs for the areas. And then as soon as spring hits, I have my list of projects. I know what needs to be done. I've got them prioritized. And then we go and we get it done. This is the way it works. To paraphrase or to quote pop culture, this is the way.
Okay. Good stuff.
Glad you've watched that.
Mr. Alex Grover joining us once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us. Happy New Year again.
Hey, thank you. Love you all on gardening land. I hope you have sweet dreams of gardens through this month. And catch y'all later. Manana.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Be safe this winter driving season. Make sure your car is in proper working condition and is stocked with blankets, warm clothing, booster cables, a fire extinguisher, and tools. Also, be sure to include bottled water, high-calorie snacks, a first aid kit, flashlights and batteries, a shovel, and ice scraper. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
There are over 137,000 miles of snowmobile trails across the U.S., which would not exist without the support of thousands of private landowners, numerous corporations, a multitude of towns, cities, and county governments, along with state and federal agencies across the Snowbelt. Thank you, landowners and agency partners. Your generosity allows over 2 million riders to enjoy these winter trails. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the Federal Highway Administration. Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment.
Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, RISE helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. RISE Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with RISE Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE. Be prepared in case you break through the ice. We have spikes close at hand next on Western Life Radio.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. For your copy, download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
The right gear will help ensure you can recover from a break in the ice. Ty Hunter with Utah State Parks and Recreation checks over the equipment.
Anytime you get out on the ice with that, you really ought to be thinking that what if? What if I fall through? What can I do? The most basic thing is you dress for the conditions that are out there and have either layers of clothes or clothing that can handle the cold that's out there. So thinking, if I do fall through, how do I keep myself afloat? How do I get myself and self-rescue myself out of the ice? A life jacket's a great thing to have in there. But the other one is a set of ice all that basically the short little ice picks that you have on a string around your neck. Some of them have kind of a retractable little safety piece on them. Some of them don't. But, man, they are a pure necessity to get yourself out of the water and up onto that ice shelf. That can save your life, and you can get them for less than $15 at any of your sports retailers around the state. If you do find yourself in the water, don't panic. You're not going to die right then and there. If you can keep your head above the water, you can last actually quite a long time. And you've got, for what may seem an eternity while you're in the water, you've got quite a bit of time that you can self-rescue or yell for help and have somebody either give you assistance with either a tree branch or a pole or a hose or an extension cord. I'm just thinking the things that people can pull off of their vehicles to be able to help. Extension cords are incredible. They're a little harder to throw, but that's why I keep saying to have a throw bag there around, especially if you don't have it in your bucket, at least have it in your truck where you can run back up and get it maybe and help somebody out. But the biggest thing is you do go in there, keep your head above the surface, and then get your arms onto the actual ice sheet, and then kick with your feet and lay yourself flat. And if you can get yourself up out of the water there, roll. And just roll. Roll a couple times to the left, a couple times to the right. Just keep working yourself from back to the area where you came from.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
For the most cost-effective school safety solutions, look to FasterUtah.org.
Travel, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free. In the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.